Good morning and welcome. Welcome to this first Sunday of Lent. During this time of preparation for the great day of resurrection, we invite all to make a commitment to your Lord, to your church, and to yourself. We do ask, as always, that you take a moment and fill out the ritual friendship card in the back of the pews. That's always very important to Reverend Chris and to Jackie, so we do appreciate when you take the time to do that. Do want to also touch on the announcements. I really don't have anything to add, but do want to mention, of course, Reverend Chris's office hours, as always. Our Bible study will be meeting tomorrow night unless something happens. I know it's supposed to be cold, but I think the precipitation is supposed to be nil, so hopefully we'll be able to meet tomorrow night. Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Kids Club, and Thursday, of course, our choir. Workday will be on Tuesday, 9 to noon, and we have two youth groups meeting today, which is very nice. The activities are always something going on in this church was just very wonderful. So all the information is in your bulletin. Do I have any other announcements that I may have overlooked? Okay, then at this time, Jackie will be sharing our minute for mission.
Missions. This is one of the missions through the years that people are. Okay, you're welcome. That disciples of Christ really try to help. This is the mission that goes in where help is needed. It's a flood, or it's a fire, or it can be almost anything. Today, we're going to talk about Colorado after the floods. Now, if anybody's like me, I think of Colorado, but nothing but snow. When the rains began in Colorado in 2013, no one expected what was to come. From communities as far north as Fort Collins, as far south as Columbia Springs, floods rushed through towns, large and small. In addition to providing grants to help those who were displaced, Week of Compassion and Disciples Volunteering became a conversation with First Christian Church, Loveland, Colorado, about how to best partner and respond and affect communities. Through the long Colorado winter slowed down, any organized response to the widespread flood damage. Summer soon meant that local long-term recovery groups could begin their preparation. So First Christian Church, Loveland, did too. Through the support of the World of Week of Compassion and volunteers, First Christian Church adapted its facilities in order to host volunteers, forge relationships with community ministers and leaders. The reorganized recovery group and now stands ready to be part of the recovery of so many impacted communities across the Central Rocky Mountain regions, empowering communities impacted by disaster and empowering congregations to minister and respond. That is the work of the Week of Compassion. That is how we can help impact communities reach a fair balance. So, Week of Compassion is very important in the life of the disciples.
Thank you, Jackie. Are there any other announcements? Okay, at this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn will be in the Red Chalice Hymnal, We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 5 of number 25, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. On this, the first Sunday of Lent, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We turn our eyes upon the cross. We focus on Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. We consider the role of grace and pardon in our world. We come to honor and humble ourselves before God. Let us bow for the invocation followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. It is by your grace, Father God, that we are lifted up when we fall. It is by your grace that we are restored and renewed. Therefore, we anticipate your grace as we gather to worship here this day. For by your grace, you take even our wayward minds and wavering wills and make them receptive to your Holy Spirit. For it is in your name we pray, our Father, who art in please be seated. At this time, we are going to have the lighting of the Lenten cross. So I would ask that you take the yellow insert out of your bulletin, please. And we will be reading together every section that says all. This Sunday recounts St. Matthew's temptation of Jesus in the desert, with which the whole season has long been associated. Lent is the time when we are called upon to change our way of life in the light of Christ's person and message. His 40 days of temptation in the wilderness preceded the beginning of his public mission of love and sacrifice. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. or by. The Holy Cross shines in splendor. Let us pray that we may resist all temptation to conform to the ways of the world and be ready to change our old ways to conform to the will of the Father. Father in heaven, who led your own Son to the wilderness to prepare him for his public life, help us to follow in his steps that we may open our hearts to his life and be blessed by his Easter glory. Amen. At this time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings, give liberally and ungrudgingly, for on this account, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all you undertake. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10. Our offertory hymn in the Chalice Hymnal is number 344, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
All that we have is yours, and all that we are, and we dedicate both in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. This time the community proclaims the Word of God. Our first scripture reading will be found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Chapter 3, verse 17, and that's on page 2 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. Our anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir, "Is There Anybody Here?"
Welcome to the Christian Church of McConnellsville as we gather this first Sunday of Lent. It is the time, Lent is the time of preparation for Easter. It commemorates the 40 days and nights that Jesus Christ spent in the wilderness as he prepared for his public ministry. We will learn more about this in our sermon today, but it's for now, it suffices to say that Jesus was baptized and then went into the wilderness to get ready for what was to come. A time of testing, a time of temptation, and for us, Lent is often that as well. The early Christians would use this time to be prepared for baptism, and their baptisms would take place on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. We ourselves in our church will begin our classes for baptism after Easter, but this is a very good time for us to prepare for the coming for the resurrection of Christ. It's a time for us to reevaluate ourselves and our lives and to consider the things that we need to leave behind or to give up. Oftentimes during Lent, people will give up things such as chocolate, or I give up Coke, or something that you think would be a small sacrifice on your part, and that's good, but it is better if we give up something that is a bad habit. Give up jealousy, give up grudges, give up gossiping. Things that are essentially a sin or things that hold us back. Lent can sometimes be seen as a dour time because we do think of sin and our own sinfulness. However, if Lent is a time for us to better ourselves, it should be seen as a wonderful opportunity leading up to, of course, a wonderful celebration. In our congregation, we keep our decorations simple. We've taken all the decorations down from Christmas. We will have no decorations up until Easter. We have the Lenten cross to remind us that the road of Lent always leads to the cross. However, we remember that it does not stop there. And for this year, we have closed our doors to keep the sanctuary more quiet and reverent, less distracting when people go back and forth. And we will open these doors for the Monday-Thursday service. And, of course, that will make our Easter that much more bright and beautiful when it comes. It's amazing to think. Easter seems so far away. It's not that far. But imagine, hopefully, what the world will look like on April 6th as opposed to how it looks right now. It will be absolutely transformative and is, to me, the most wonderful representation of the resurrection that God has in store for us. So let us go together in prayer today. Let us go together to lift up all the things that concern us, all the things we wish to leave behind, all the things that we want to improve in our lives and our spirits these 40 days and nights. Jackie mentioned this morning the Colorado floods as she gave the minute for mission for Week of Compassion. I want to emphasize that. I want to bring that back to say that my brother lives in Boulder, Colorado. He was there during those floods. He has pictures you will not believe of roads that were destroyed within a day. But also, within months, everything was pretty much back to normal, in part because of the help and the work of organizations like Week of Compassion, their work with the First Christian Church of Loveland, Colorado, their work with the First Christian Church in Boulder, Colorado. It is a wonderful arm of our ministry that needs our support. Let us give generously to the Week of Compassion. I received some good news on James Undurko, who we've been praying for this past week. A cousin of Robin McCune, who had an accidental strangling and whose life hangs in the balance. There has been good news as far as his life is concerned. He should be able to breathe off of the respirator soon. However, they're still concerned as far as his brain activity is concerned. They still have not received much hope in that regard. We need to continue to pray for James, his family. He has come far. He has far to go still. Let us continue to pray for James Undurko and his family. I also want to give thanks that my mother returned home from the rehabilitation home on the recovery of her knee, and she's doing well. And so we give thanks on her behalf, and she would like to thank you also for prayers given. What other joys and concerns do we want to share with one another this morning? Who do we need to lift up in prayer? Who do we want to update with one another in prayer? And what thanksgivings do we have to give to God today? Roxanne? That's wonderful news. That is bittersweet, I guess, but that is wonderful. Thank you. If you didn't hear, Ryan Youngkin, a teenager, boy, is he college age now? Okay, so 2 years ago, though, he helped rescue a woman who was in the middle of a domestic dispute, and that was great. Shortly after that, she received a breast cancer diagnosis, but because of his action, she was inspired to find Christ. She passed away this past week. We mourn with the family, but we do rejoice on that good news that you share. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that today. Teresa?
Yes, I'm asking for prayer for my daughter, Anna. She's 19 years old.
pray for Anna. Thank you. Tina? Pray for you and for them. Thank you for sharing that. Gary. Pray for her and for all those that you've mentioned as they battle the various ailments. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Are there any others? Wanda?
Bill was very, very pleased and happy with all of your birthday cards, the Valentines from the kids' club, and visits. And very, very much appreciative of highlighting his birthday. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing that. We rejoice and remember him as he is Harmon House and is united with us in spirit. Thank you. Jackie? Please write down your prayer request on the cards in the pew, especially helps with the spelling of the name so that Jackie can add them to our prayer list in the following Sunday. Sonny? For their family on their terrible loss. Thank you. Seeing none, another, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, now that we are on the threshold of Lent, prompt us to reevaluate our spiritual lives. For we would worship you sincerely and follow you carefully and grow in grace and holiness. As Christ walked his journey, we too follow, but we confess that we don't always go on a straight line. We wander off to our own ways and the things that catch our attention. Or we follow, but we just can't keep up. We go so slow and we stumble and we fall. Help us always to get back on the right path. Help us always to get back up and try again. Help us to examine ourselves that we may not be found wanting on our journey, that we may eliminate those things that keep us back. Give us strength, O Lord, to confess to you and to ourselves the areas in which we need to improve and give us the courage to make those changes. Lord, we pray your strength for all people, but especially for those who feel weak, those who are not well, those whose bodies ail, those whose spirits falter. Give your strength, O Lord, to the Brady family as they deal with tragedy and pain. Give your strength, O Lord, to Gary's cousin battling a brain tumor, and for Kelly Scalota battling breast cancer and brain tumor. For Dave McDonald's daughter battling Crohn's disease. For James Undurko fighting for his life at Children's Hospital, and his father, also James. for Anna, who continues to battle poor health, and Angie Darrell, who is fighting fibromyalgia on her shoulder, for all those on our prayer list and in our hearts and our families, all those who are in pain, all those who are ailing. We lift them all up to you. We know many of our church members are sick. We pray that you will strengthen them. Strengthen their bodies. But strengthen also their spirits, that they may know that even when they are not in our building, they are in our hearts and our prayers. They are still in our church. And give your courage, Lord, to those who are uncertain, to those who are afraid, to those who worry about where to do next in life or how to take that next step. We pray, Lord, your courage to Tina as she argues with her daughter's father. Your courage to those who battle depression and are affected greatly by this bad weather. Your courage to those who simply don't know which way to go next. Help them to step out in faith, knowing that you are with them and that you guide them, that your spirit is with them always. And even if they don't make the right decision, things are never over as long as you are with them. Give us courage as well, Lord, to examine ourselves, to better ourselves, to grow in faith with you by changing our habits, changing our lives, changing the way we act with one another, so that we are always more Christ-like, that we are always more in step with your Son, Jesus Christ, who has walked this path before us. He himself who faced temptation, he himself who spent time examining and preparing himself for his ministry. We know that he walked the steps before. We know that he walked the path to the cross before. We know that he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And because of this, Lord, may we be bold in our faith and daring in our service, to the end that your name may be honored on earth even as it is in heaven. Hear our prayer, O Lord, in our Savior's name. These things we pray together as your church, as your body, following in the steps of your Son. Amen. The children come forward for the generous sermon. How's everyone today? Scared you, didn't I? You know what I had to do? I had to go get my pills. I have a lot of pills I take every day. I have so many things that bother me, and so the doctor gives me lots and lots of pills. Now, I don't think everyone's here just yet. They're going to be coming up in a second. But, oh, these bottles for my pills, they're impossible to open, aren't they? Do you guys ever take pills? What do you take them for? To help you, but to help you how? Surgery is something that makes you feel better, right? Makes your body feel better. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Hold on 1 second. I got to open this bottle. It's so hard. Filling my pills everywhere. Do you like to take pills? you take pills whenever you're not feeling well, right? Have you ever had a headache and take a pill? Yeah. Do you ever have a pain somewhere and you take a pill?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So, this morning I woke up and my back was sore from shoveling in the snow. So I took a pill. Go feel better, right? Then, it was like, do you know what depression is? Do you feel sad? Sometimes you can take a pill to feel better. It helps you out, okay? So, it's all snowy and it's ugly out there. Take another pill. Feel better. Then, you know what anxious means? You feel nervous, feel worried. Yeah. What is the pill for that? You want to take a pill? Then, that's a lot of pills in it. Takes a while. I don't have any water either. Then, okay, on top of that, sometimes you might have a problem that you cannot see immediately, okay? You may go to the doctor and think you're okay. Your doctor will say, your cholesterol is high, okay? That's something in your blood that you want to keep low. And you know what doctor says? I'm gonna prescribe you a pill, so we're taking my cholesterol pill. Then you might have high blood pressure. Is that good? How are we gonna solve that? Take a pill. Man. So, when things are wrong, excuse me while I take my pills, sometimes they give you pills. And they're designed to make things better. And that's good. When you go to a doctor and the doctor prescribes medicine, prescribes pills, you should take them and follow the directions the doctor gives you. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a pill for all the problems in your life? Wouldn't it be nice if I could take all these pills before this children's sermon is over? Wouldn't it be nice if you were worried about a test? You studied for it, but you still didn't feel prepared for it. And your doctor says, here, take a pill. It's a pill. And wouldn't it be nice if you were really nervous about a mean kid on your bus who sometimes picks on you, and your mom could be like, here, take a pill, and you won't be afraid anymore. Wouldn't it be nice if you felt really bad? Wouldn't it be nice if you felt really bad about something you did you shouldn't have done, and you felt guilty? You know what guilt means? Okay? And when we do things bad, you know, we should feel guilty. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if you could go to someone and they could give you a pill that would help you get rid of that guilt? Yeah? Would you like that? Yeah. So, pills. They're useful. But guess what? One, they don't solve everything. And two, sometimes they have side effects, you know. So you got to be careful with them. But there is one pill that I highly recommend to you. That is available without a prescription, which means you don't need to go to a doctor to get it. That is free, because sometimes pills can be expensive, especially if you don't have insurance. And even when you do have insurance, they can be expensive. However, this pill that I have off for you is free. Quiet. And wouldn't it be great if this pill would solve any number of ailments in your heart? I have that pill. Do you know what it's called? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we all together groan. The gospel. You know what the gospel is? It means good news, right? The good news of who? Jesus, okay? The good news of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the examples of Jesus Christ, these are all good things for us. Because of Jesus and who he was and what he did for us, it brings us comfort, right? When you're scared at night, maybe, when you're trying to sleep and you hear some noises, the gospel of Christ can help you, make you feel better. When someone's being mean to you and you're not sure what to do, the gospel of Christ can help you. When you feel bad because of something you did, the gospel of Christ can help you. And it goes on and on and on. The gospel of Christ can actually, seriously, lower your blood pressure because it helps you. It can actually help you with anxiety because you know that Christ is with you. Yes?
I'm Christian.
did it scare you? Your sister knocking on your window, now it would be a little scary. But if you know Jesus is with you, it would help you. Okay? And check this out. As I said, it's free. And there are no... Well, wait. Oh, there are side effects. There are side effects. If you take the gospel of Jesus Christ, it may cause you to be a little bit excited because you got the Spirit of Christ in you. If you take the gospel of Jesus Christ, it may cause you to be extra friendly and nice. If you take the gospel of Jesus Christ, it may cause you to do things that you would not normally do and go places that you would not normally go, but they would be very good things. So let me ask you this. Would you like the gospel of Jesus Christ? I have it here. These are just jelly beans. You are right, Owen. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, one of the tenets of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we what? We share with one another. He who has 2 or 10 jelly beans, share with those who have none. Would you like me to do that? Would you like me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? All right. Let's sit down. All right, you know what? I tell you, give me a line behind Owen. And let's remember to share also. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And you can do that by sharing your jelly beans or whatever. But mostly you do that by treating each other well. And that will make each other feel well. And you can go to your class. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to trade me? One is on the floor? All right. I'm really bad about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I keep dropping it on the ground. Although that's really another benefit of that pill. You can't do that. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And you can find that on the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 3. Here begins the reading. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God, and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know what's interesting to me of the jobs that you could have? One of the most interesting jobs would be somebody whose job it is to test the safety of cars. And the reason for that is when I was growing up, I would build things. I would build buildings with blocks, and I would build cities and towers or castles. And it was fun, but that was only part of the fun. You know what the other part of the fun was? Destroying them. I don't know why. I just know that when I was done, I would, bring in Godzilla, and I would knock down all the buildings I had just built. Yesterday, I was out in the yard with my kids. We built a snow fort, a snow castle. We spent 40 minutes on that thing. And as soon as we were done, my son wanted to destroy it. And he stomped through it, and he kicked it over, and he took his sled. It was a round sled, and he threw it like a frisbee. 40 minutes to make, 5 minutes to destroy, and he really enjoyed it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I know that I'm not the only one. There is something about us that we like to build, and also destroying is fun too. And so therefore, somebody who tests the safety of cars, isn't it interesting that they would spend so much time and money on building a car? It is not cheap, it is not fast, it takes a lot more than 40 minutes. And then your job is to destroy it within less than 5 seconds. Now we know that this is an incredibly important job. And we should all, if you've ever been in an accident, if you haven't been in an accident, we should all be very grateful for these people. But what an interesting job that you take this perfectly nice car that is brand new, and your job is just to destroy it. You do it to test it. As I said, it's one of the most important jobs of any person. Testing the safety of the car very well could save lives. I think of that whenever I read this story, because the story that we read from the Gospel of Matthew, which is also in Mark and Luke, is the story, essentially, of Jesus being tested. And maybe you might think of Jesus as this car that has been built, that God has created. That God has spent approximately 30 years putting together. God comes into the world in the form of a human being, fully human and fully divine, and has spent approximately 30 years living in the world, and we really don't know much about those first 30 years. We hear a little bit about the birth, and there's a couple stories of Jesus as a young child, and then there's absolutely nothing between the ages of 12 and, again, about 30 when this story takes place. But now Jesus has been baptized, and the Spirit has come down, and so his public ministry is about to begin. But before it does, after this grand announcement that he is the Son of God, Jesus immediately goes away. Immediately goes to the wilderness, which is basically the desert, another way of saying that, and spends 40 days being tested and tempted. Now, the Council of Nicaea, many hundred years later, decided or determined that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. And that is what we might call the orthodox description of Jesus Christ. He was both at the same time. But they never took on the task of trying to figure out how that came about or how that came to be. Whether he knew that right away or if his awareness came later on. And there's many theologians and church fathers who spent many time, many words trying to argue about that. But it's important for us to understand the dual nature. Because if Jesus was only human, he would be a really great guy and an incredible person, but really would not be able to get us to the other side. Okay? Would not really be able to save us. If Jesus was fully divine and not human, then the story that we've heard today doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. It is important for us to understand and to believe that Jesus Christ was actually tempted. Because we might say to ourselves, oh, it's no big deal. He's the Son of God. How hard would it be for him to fast for 40 days? How hard would it be for him to refuse to use his power to make stones into bread or to command cities? If that's the case, then I very much believe that the Gospels lose their power. The power that comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ is this belief that God, who we had known as being so far away, had come so close to us and yet still retained the transcendence. God came close enough to us to know us, to understand us, to reach us, but is still so much greater than us that God can grab us and take us with him. Take us out of this world, which often is so small and so low, and take us so high to be in heaven with him. So here, during these 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus' humanity came head-to-head with his divinity, and the result would determine the course of his ministry and the course of history. I do not believe that a church could last and be built for 2,000 years upon a really, really, really good guy. I do believe his divinity is essential to our faith. But I also believe that his humanity is essential as well. We can say that it was God that put him to the test, even though it was the devil who actually oversees the temptation, because of a very interesting turn of phrase at the beginning of our passage. In the first verse of Matthew that we read, it writes, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Led by the Spirit. We've only just met the Spirit. The Spirit only entered the Bible in his baptism just a couple chapters earlier. And now it is leading him to the wilderness to be tempted. Mark says that the Spirit drove him to be tempted by the devil. And it may seem strange to see the devil and God working together, but it shouldn't be, actually. If you really take a look throughout the Bible about the place that the devil has, it's very strange and very interesting. It's probably best for another sermon, but I'll just give you some broad strokes. There really is no character of the devil at all in the Bible until very late in the Old Testament. Well, actually, the term the devil does not appear in the Bible at all, or at least in the Old Testament at all, I should say. The devil means literally one who throws something across one's path. And it never appears in the Old Testament, but there is the title Satan or the Satan, which appears only in three instances. The most famous of these is in the book of Job, where he is described literally as God's servant. And he makes a bet with God that Job's family, if you take away his family and his happiness, he will curse God. And God agrees, and Satan tests Job's faith. But still, Satan is doing God's bidding. Eventually, as in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the devil would be blamed for sectarian division within Judaism. But here, at the beginning of Matthew, the devil has a more traditional role of doing God's bidding by throwing something across the path of one of God's servants. In this case, the servant was God's own son. The devil acts as those testers of cars, tempting Jesus by offering him three things. First, he tempts Christ to turn stones into bread, knowing that he must be hungry from fasting. By offering him bread, he recalls the testing of the Israelites in the desert, wandering for 40 years, not 40 days. By offering him bread, he recalls the idea of manna. When Moses said to God, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God," or sorry, Moses said to the Israelites, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Now I hope that sounds familiar to you, because that is the passage that Jesus quotes to the devil when he says, "One cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." So next, the devil takes Christ to a high pinnacle and tells him to throw himself down and be rescued by angels to show that he is the Son of God. Jesus responds by quoting the book of Deuteronomy again. This is where the passage from Moses was originally found. Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And this is the passage from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. In which Moses again tells the Israelites not to test God as they did in Massa when they complained that they had no water. Finally, the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and offered him to rule over all that he saw if he would bow down to him. For a third time, Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy when he says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." This the Israelites failed to do when they were tired of waiting for Moses to return from Mount Sinai and built a golden calf. In effect, we might say that the devil tried to offer Jesus a shortcut to glory. Bow down to me, you will have food. Bow down to me, you will have power. Bow down to me, you will have glory. In doing so, it would bypass Golgotha, it would bypass the cross, it would bypass pain and betrayal, would bypass Good Friday, Lent, and all that comes with it. But the problem is that that shortcut did not lead to the resurrection. Let's remember that. We're going to come back to that. Have you ever tried to take a shortcut? Have you ever tried to go from A to B by skipping over to C because it was faster? Sometimes it works, but a lot of times you get lost. A lot of times you fail to arrive at your destination. I cannot tell you how many times in my life shortcuts have become long cuts. Now, that's in the literal sense, driving, trying to find a shortcut and you get lost. It's also in the metaphorical sense, trying to do something, trying to do a job around the house, change a light bulb, and it would be really fast if I could just get on my tippy toes and do it instead of going all the way down to the garage and getting the stepladder. And it would be, except that in doing so, I lose control and I drop the light bulb and it shatters everywhere. So now I have to clean up the mess and I still have to go down and get the stepladder and now a new light bulb, except that we don't have the kind of need and now I need to go to the store. The shortcut that I try to take made things much longer and much harder. And what a simple thing that is when it comes to changing a light bulb, what a very difficult and sad thing it is when it comes to following God. Because getting lost and not arriving at your destination or making your life harder, that's what would have happened had Christ failed these temptations. He may have received power and glory, but it would have been in service to one who was in himself in the service of God. Whatever glory the devil could have given Christ, it was far short of anything God had to offer. In effect, you could say that Jesus would have been worshiping someone who was less than himself. By quoting the book of Deuteronomy in his response, Christ reminds us of the times in which human beings, even the people of God, were tempted to not trust in God, tempted to test God, tempted to turn to false gods, and often did. Certainly the Israelites wanted a shortcut to get them out of the wilderness, and because they did, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Who knows how long it would have taken them to get from Egypt to the Promised Land, but I bet you it would have taken a lot less time had they not tried to take these shortcuts. In effect, and in reality, God punished them for trying to take those shortcuts, and their punishment was to wander for 40 years. But can we really blame them? Have we not ourselves been in their shoes time and time again? For we can read their story in our time, and we can think that they were ungrateful, and they were. But lest we paint them with too hard a brush, let's admit that if we answered God's call, and it led us to 40 minutes, 40 hours of wandering in the wilderness, we also would likely get impatient. We also likely would complain too. For we, like all humans before us, are tempted by the desire to find a shortcut, to find the easy answer, to have our pain or discomfort alleviated as quickly as possible. If we could just take a pill and have everything solved, we would do so. We seek the path of least resistance. Not always, but often enough, that we should know to be careful of this desire. Sometimes, occasionally, the simplest solution is the best answer, and sometimes, occasionally, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But usually in life, we have to go through some hurdles, and we have to overcome some obstacles, and we have to face some things that get thrown across our path, and we see them and we curse them, but perhaps, just perhaps, they're there for a reason, to teach us and to guide us. To put it in Christian terms, we want so desperately to skip Lent and go straight to Easter. Wouldn't it be great if we could live in a world where we go from Christmas to Epiphany to Fat Tuesday and then immediately Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday's alright, we'll spend a little time Palm Sunday. And then straight to Easter. Right? What a wonderful, wonderful, joyous time that would be. One great party from Mardi Gras to Easter with no break in between. It would be great and filled with fun. It would be a shortcut full of celebration and excitement. But it would get old. And before we knew it, it wouldn't be enough. And we'd have to skip past all that time between Easter and Pentecost, not to mention the vast stretch of time between Pentecost and Christmas, just to be happy. But we should know that nothing worth having ever comes easy. And I believe that true happiness, the happiness that comes from knowing that your source of joy is not temporary but permanent, knowing that your pain is only fleeting, knowing that each step of our journey, the good and the bad, enrich our understanding and gratitude for life, indeed increase our faith, I believe that is worth having. So let us not take a shortcut through Lent. Let us take it seriously. Let us examine ourselves in this time, in these 40 days in the wilderness. As I said before, many people take a Lenten vow. Many people might say, why should we give up something that makes us happy? After all, there's enough sadness and worry and stress in the world. Why should we give up chocolate or fatty food or cigarettes or something that makes us a little easier for life to cope? And that is a very valid point. No one should do something just because someone tells them they should. It is fine if something gives you joy, but if you have let it get control over you, then you will find that the joy it gives is a small reward paid for with a hefty price. What is it that masters you? Something small like junk food or pop or candy, alcohol. If you can give it up from now until Easter, you may find that life without its control is better than you possibly imagine. You may decide to give it up altogether, or you may go back to it when your Lenten vow is over, but if you do, you are likely to find that you are more in control this time. If Christ had thought, why should I go through this difficult period and trial when life is hard enough as it is? If Christ had thought that there would be never been a resurrection, if he had thought that there would never been a resurrection, the reason is because if he had not, then the little things that give us joy would cease being means to an end and would become the end itself. Life would have no meaning beyond doing anything possible for a small, fleeting moment of happiness. And then we would be on to the next one before it gets old. But because Christ endured the suffering of trial and crucifixion, he made it through to resurrection, showing us the way to true love, lasting, and happiness. Now, we are not called to crucifixion, but we are called to put our faith to the test. We are called to do a little something to remind ourselves of the sacrifice that he made. We are called to place ourselves a bit in his shoes during these next 40 days, so that when the time of Easter comes, we shall know true joy. Let us hold our faith to the fire and see if it will hold, see if it will live up to the test, see if it will come through to the other side. Christ's strength will come to us when we need it, and we will know and more fully appreciate. We shall know that for those who take no shortcuts between now and Easter, the faith that we receive will be true and stronger and truly lasting than we could possibly imagine. Let us spend these next 40 days between now and Easter enjoying and celebrating and appreciating the grace that Christ offers us this day and every day. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please taste the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 180, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days. Let us sing the first and last verse. I do apologize if anyone saw the sign outside and thought I was going to be preaching on 50 Shades of Grace and came in and was disappointed that was my sermon title, but you know what? It was what I was preaching on, and that is what my community meditation is about. And in fact, honestly, that's my message every Sunday. You see, as I said before, that when we go through Lent, we want to examine ourselves and we want to search for the things that we need to improve and the forgiveness that we need, and we do so because the celebration of Easter is a celebration of grace, but you don't appreciate that. You don't appreciate being forgiven if you don't know what it is that you should be forgiven for in the first place. You go to a doctor so that the doctor can tell you what is wrong, and when doing so, can give you a pill or something else that would make it better. But how many of us do not go to the doctor because we are afraid of what the doctor will say? How many of us let pains and ailments and things that in the back of our head we know are serious or could be, but don't go because we don't want that diagnosis. And the same is true when we don't go to Christ to confess our sins. And what happens during Lent basically happens right here at this table each week. We could just come to this table celebrate the grace of Christ, say thank you very much, and eat the cup and the bread. But those who truly appreciate are the ones who spend time asking for forgiveness and asking for help to improve. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into a world that needed to be saved and brought grace to people who needed to be saved, and that is you and that is me and everybody else. So as we gather around this table to share this meal, we should be aware of the 50 shades of grace that have been bestowed in our life, and many, many, many more. We could spend hours searching for forgiveness and asking for that grace. But all we really need to do is spend a few moments. Let us share this meal this morning. Let us go to our Lord. Let us take no shortcuts. Let's go straight to Him. Ask His forgiveness for where we have fallen short. And receive His gospel that will bring us healing. And now this morning, let us pray.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us here today. We thank you for all of your guidance and all of your wisdom and all of your love. And we thank you most of all for letting us live in the shadow of your wings and giving us your total guidance every single day with your right hand.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, 484, We Have a Story to Tell the Nations, verses 1 and 4. Let us stand as we sing. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Go with God, knowing, though life is full of temptation, God will see us through. Though life is full of times of trial, Christ walks with us every step of the way. Though life is full of obstacles to our faith, the Spirit eases our burden. Amen.